We only read 38 yesterday. So we'll read 39 today. Saintly persons who are friends of all living entities have a peaceful consciousness. They have control of their senses and minds, and they easily attain the path of liberation, path back to Godhead. Being unfortunate and attached to the miserable material conditions, a materialistic person cannot associate with them. So please repeat. Saintly persons who are friends to all living entities have a peaceful consciousness. They have control of their senses and minds, and they easily attain the path of liberation, the path back to Godhead. Being unfortunate and attached to the miserable material conditions, a materialistic person cannot associate with them. Purport. The great saint Jadavarat described both the miserable condition and the means to get out of it. The only way out of it is association with devotees. And this association is very easy. Although unfortunate people also get this opportunity, due to their great misfortune, they cannot take shelter of a pure devotees, and consequently they continuously suffer. Nonetheless, this Krishna consciousness movement insists that everyone take to this path by adopting the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The preachers of Krishna consciousness go door to door to inform people how they can be relieved from the miserable conditions of material life. Stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. By the mercy of Krishna and Guru, one can get the seed of devotional service. If one is a little intelligent, he can cultivate Krishna consciousness and be freed from the miserable conditions of material life. Translation again. Saintly persons with friends to all living entities who have a peaceful consciousness, they have control their senses and minds, and they easily attain the path of liberation, path back to Godhead. Being unfortunate, attached to the miserable material conditions, a materialistic person can associate with them. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatunde Ve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Siddharane. One of the basic principles in Krishna consciousness is association with devotees. Just like there are five powerful processes, of which one of them is association with the devotees. Because if we associate with devotees, sincere devotees, then it's expected that we'll execute the other four processes also. And therefore our scriptures are full of not only the glories of associating with devotees, but how we associate with devotees. Who is a devotee? For instance, Sri Rupa Goswami states in the Nectar of Instruction, Tadati prati grinakti gunyam akkiti prisati bhunte bojayate chaiva shadvidam priti lakshanam. So priti, love, is a word that, practically speaking, everyone has some connection with. Priti means spiritual love. It doesn't mean material love. Of course, it could mean. It's also used in the sense of priti for the senses. As Maharaj Shavde said, Nunam pramaktak kurute vikarma yet indriya priteya aprinoti. So indriya pritya means love for the senses. So that a man can produce a baby, because it's not going to work. They probably have to transplant the baby into the man. In any case, they're so crazy, there's as if there's not enough women producing babies, they have to get men to do it too. There's plenty of women around for children. There's no need for men to step forward. In any case, because they're in ignorance, therefore they don't know who they are, and they don't even know what kind of body they're living in, what it's meant for. Even so simple as the fact that women are supposed to produce children, and men are assistants. But because they've undervalued even the most simple things, practically speaking, in other words, the value of children, the value of food, the value of clean air, the value of peace, everything that's important in life, they've thrown out the window, and they're mad after whatever is being advertised on the television. However harmful it may be, that's what they're interested in. Because they've been misled. Blind people following blind leaders. The result is they're simply producing more and more problems. Etam drishtim avashtavya nashtatmanona buddhaya pravatnyukra karmana shaye jagato hita. Following such conclusions, lost to themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. And what's the basic principle? That etam drishtim, what have they lost? That there is a God, and that we're supposed to actually love Him. That this body, whatever it may be, has a certain purpose, and that purpose is engaged in Krishna's service, and that's called priti, priti for Krishna. Krishna is the source of love, and when we associate with Krishna, then our natural feelings of love are awakened. Just like a little spark, when it's outside the fire, then it becomes duller and duller and duller, and practically it becomes extinguished. But when it's back in the fire, then it glows brightly. So love is our nature. If we don't love Krishna, we'll have to love so many other things. So that love for Krishna is learned in the association of devotees. Specifically, by the general categories that Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī says, namely, offering prasad. So that should be done lovingly, because lovingly means at least we should do it. If there is a Sunday feast and there's some gulab jamuns and we think, well, let me offer all the other preparations and I'll keep the gulab jamuns for myself, save them so I can eat three or four every day during the week. So that's priti, but that's not for priti for the devotees. No, there's gulab jamuns. I really like the gulab jamuns. I should give the devotees one or two and save the rest for myself. So that's offering prasad. And of course, if there's some prasadam, we should accept it from the devotees. One of Śrīla Prabhupāda's godbrothers, he was offered some prasadam by the devotees, and he wouldn't accept it because he thought, well, they're maleches, they're contaminated, I'm a pure Brahmin, how can I accept such food? Later on, when Prabhupāda was his body, that devotee came and he, seeing a godbrother, Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, when he was with him, he put some prasadam. He asked one of the devotees to bring him some prasadam, and then Prabhupada, with his own hand on the devotee's hand, says, please accept. In other words, he said, I'm offering it with my own hand, and of course the devotee also. So then his godbrother accepted the prasadam. He was so very embarrassed. Prabhupada was so ill, and yet he made a special point that, you know, he would accept the prasadam. Before that, he had asked for a donation from Prabhupada some years earlier. And Prabhupada said, how can I give him a donation. He said this money was collected by all these malechas. So how can I give him a donation? You know, will contaminate him. He's a pure Brahmin. How can he accept anything from all these malechas? And then, of course, as they said, at the end of Prabhupada's manifest pastimes, then the devotee accepted. And when Mula Prakriti Mataji was interviewing him, he was quite elderly at that time, and he was crying how Prabhupada had saved him by giving him, you know, enlightening him. So it may seem quite obvious that we accept prasadam from the devotees, especially if we like what they're offering us. We have little discrimination, but it's hard for us to imagine someone who's actually discriminating. In one sense, the lack of discrimination is on a higher platform, but we should also come to the platform of discriminating to understand who's on what platform. In that sense, the devotees being more innocent, you know, have an advantage. Like, for instance, Prabhupada said in India, they were brought up with so many ideas about Krishna. So it's very hard for them to understand what the real idea about Krishna is. On the other hand, we have no idea about anything we were brought up. So anything we heard, we can accept. You know, Shiva is, you know, subordinate to Vishnu. Brahma is subordinate. No problem for us, because we have no idea who Shiva or Brahma is. It could be whoever they are. Sure, no problem. There's no competition. We don't have a background. So offering gifts in charity and accepting charitable gifts, Prabhupada, of course, defines that as charitable gifts, especially Krishna consciousness, as a charitable gift. As mentioned in this verse, Lord Nityananda went door to door saying, Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shika, worship Krishna, chant Krishna's name, and follow Krishna's instructions. So there's a gift that's being offered. Instructions, how to become liberated. We may think of gifts of, you know, a nice package and inside is a nice electronic device that I always was hankering for. But the real gift is to give people transcendental knowledge. That's the highest gift. It's by transcendental knowledge we can awaken one's real identity and get free from all the miseries. And of course, not only do we give everyone transcendental gifts of knowledge, but we have to be prepared to receive that knowledge also from others. Not that I know everything and everyone else should just listen to me and I talk 24 hours a day and no one has a chance to say anything. But we should also be prepared to learn how to listen to the transcendental message. Of course, not listen to rock music, but to the transcendental message coming into the simple succession. And revealing one's mind and confidence doesn't tell people, we tell them exactly what we think about them. They told me to reveal my mind and confidence to you. Don't tell anyone else, I think you're crazy, you're a jerk. Or this other person, this is what I actually think about them. Now, revealing the mind, we reveal our realizations in Krishna consciousness. And we hear other people's experiences in Krishna consciousness too. Sometimes those revelations are confidential. Often they're not. Well, they may be confidential, but they'll only be understood by persons with a certain qualification. Is meant so we can become fixed in the philosophy, in the practical activities of philosophy, working on the middle class platform. Ishvare ta dadineshu balishesu dvijsatsu cha prema maitri gripo peka yak karoti samadhyamaha. Trying to love Krishna by serving the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's how we show our love to Krishna. Participating in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given to us by Srila Rupa Goswami, and expanding the Hare Krishna movement is shown to us by our acharyas, especially Srila Prabhupada. And we try to cooperate with the devotees. For the devotees, there's maitri, there's friendship. Devotees who are trying to, what? Help the innocent, especially. The balishu, we give them a kripa. And for those who are unwilling to participate in the Sankirtan movement, then there's upeksha, neglect. Otherwise, if we criticize too heavily, or if we become associating with such persons too intimately, then the result is we'll acquire their bad habits, or our minds will become disturbed. In any case, so we cooperate with the devotees, and how's that cooperation? Mainly to serve the mission of the previous acharyas. So therefore, those who know more about the mission, those who are more fixed in the mission, those who are more enthusiastic about the mission, then we hear from them, and then we serve their instructions. Because those instructions come down from Krishna into Siva's succession. Therefore, for those devotees, ananya anya indati shunya ridayam istita sangalabhya, who are engaged in unalloyed devotional service, and whose hearts devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So what does that mean? It means they're performing their service with care and attention. And as it says in this verse, they're friendly to all living entities. It doesn't mean that everyone they meet, they hand a flower to. They don't necessarily act as a Mahabhagavat. Because a Mahabhagavat, if they want to preach, they have to come down to the middle class platform where they're discriminating. So discriminating means that they have to know who's actually listening to them, who's not listening to them, who's interested in the philosophy, who's interested in Krishna consciousness. They have to be able to discriminate and reciprocate with them accordingly. Generally, they're as soft as a rose, especially if they're advanced devotees. But sometimes they can be as hard as a thunderbolt, because that's what it takes to help the devotee, help the person advance in Krishna consciousness. So we think that Prabhupada was, sometimes he criticized. He criticized everyone, practically speaking, except for the pure devotees. We can find in Prabhupada's conversations especially, he criticized women, he criticized men, he criticized blacks, he criticized whites and reds and all kinds of colors. He criticized Americans and the Germans and the English and the British, not the Slovenians though. He was careful not to criticize the Slovenians. I don't even know if he knew they... I guess they didn't even exist. Maybe they didn't know they existed. In any case, does that mean that Prabhupada was, you know, devoid of... He wasn't devoid of the propensity to criticize others? No, when he criticized, it was not because of any spiritual identity. It was because of the ones becoming a victim to the material illusions. That's what he criticized. Or as Jesus Christ said, don't hate the sinner, but hate the sin. So Prabhupada would point out the fallacies of having a particular designation, what they generally would be susceptible under the realm of material energy. So Prabhupada was quite sharp sometimes, but that was in order to cut, because the sadhu is also supposed to cut. Although he's friendly to all living entities, but he's supposed to cut away our material attachments. But generally, Prabhupada was quite soft, especially when he was dealing with persons who weren't ready for the operation. Rarely we can find, I associated with Prabhupada at least in different places in the world at least 30, 40 times. And only one time I ever saw Prabhupada raise his hand and chastise someone. When boy. But other than that, Prabhupada didn't chastise. Because when he gave me Brahman initiation, he tapped me on the head, see if I was awake or not. He didn't think I was pronouncing the words properly. But in any case, Prabhupada was generally soft as a rose. And only those devotees who were more advanced did he actually do a little bit of a heart operation sometimes. Because it was necessary. And Prabhupada certainly, whoever he met, he certainly was trying to help them in their Krishna consciousness. Therefore, devotees, when they saw Prabhupada speak to reporters, it wasn't that he was simply giving some official interview. He was also speaking directly to the reporter, trying to help that particular individual, spirit soul, wake up from their Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada would say things that normally people don't say in an interview. One time in Chicago, Prabhupada was sitting on a pillow next to his Vyasa son. And one lady reporter, could have been a man, but it was just happened to be a lady, was looking at Prabhupada and saying, you know, Swamiji, he said, you know, why you have that big chair there? And Prabhupada said, well, I'm sitting on this pillow because I know you're envious. So she was also going into why you rode in this fancy car here and this and that. Prabhupada said, you know, I'm sitting here. First of all, he said, it's not for me. It was offered to Krishna's representative. And then Prabhupada said, I'm sitting here because I know you're envious. So generally, you don't tell a reporter that. You answer their questions because, you know, you get written up in the newspaper, Swamiji called me envious because I was questioning him. But Prabhupada was, he understood what honesty was and what different people needed at a particular time. And he said accordingly because he was Krishna's instrument. He understood people's hearts very well. And he knew what medicine they needed. So that's called Ananya Anya Nindati Sunya Ridayam Isita Sangha Labhya. So we have to learn that transcendental discrimination. So we can become expert at presenting Krishna consciousness to others, the loving affairs of Krishna consciousness. If we become overly sentimental, we think, oh, I love everyone, I can't criticize everyone, you know, then we're imitating Mahabhagavat, and we'll simply get them, people into trouble. We'll encourage them to do things which are actually dangerous to them spiritually. And we ourselves will become so, we'll get ourselves into bad association. Or at least we'll be instructing people in the wrong way, and we may also become deviated because of that. On the other hand, if we become so overly strict that everyone's wrong except for me, everyone's a fool and I'm the only one who, intelligent enough to see it, we'll also get into trouble, condemned. So blind following is everyone's great, everything's wonderful, everyone's a Mahabhagavat, I serve everyone. Whatever they tell me. Like the devotees in San Francisco during Rath Yatra, they were 1968. So everyone was, you know, in a very nice mood and the hippies were handing out candies and the devotees just took the candy. Unfortunately, the candy was laced with LSD. So some of the devotees, they were tripping during the Rath Yatra. Wow, Lord Jagannath, he's... I thought he was unusual, but wow, look at him now. So Prabhupada asked when he was in Stilton Beach, where is so-and-so? And everybody said, well, you know, Prabhupada, they took this candy and it had LSD, so they had to rest a little bit. They had to come down for the trip before they came and saw you. So we can't be so everyone's great, everyone's wonderful, everyone's a pure devotee, whatever they offer me. I eat, I take. No, we'll get into trouble. On the other hand, absurd inquiries, I analyze everyone down so that if they look the wrong way at the wrong time, they're a demon. And I don't accept anything from them. I don't associate with them. I don't accept any loving exchange with them. So we have to have proper discrimination, proper understanding, who's on what platform. And then we can know how to exchange these loving exchanges with the devotees appropriately and make actual tangible spiritual advancement. But there's no other way, really, to advance spiritually without engaging in those six loving exchanges. So unless we do it expertly, we won't be able to adequately advance in spiritual life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any comments? Questions? Yes. something comes. Not everything else comes, but it's the beginning. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, mat karma krin mat paramo mat bhakta sangavartitaha nirvara sarabhuteshu yaksamam eti pandava. And my dear Arjuna, one who's free from the contamination of previous activities, mat karma krit, mat paramo, who takes shelter in me, mad bhakta sangavarjita, who's my unalloyed devotee, nirvara sarabhuteshu, and who's not an enemy to any living entity, he's friendly, that he certainly comes to me. He manifested when we will be able to see every living entity as Krishna's eternal servant, and that we're also Krishna's servant, and we'll know how to serve Krishna and serve all living entities appropriately. But there are other things in order to come to that platform that are necessary. Envy. Enmity.
Envy.
Envy, yeah. No, but how do we do it? We serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. We hear from the senior devotees, especially someone like Prabhupada, who's actually working for the benefit, the welfare of everyone by giving them Krishna consciousness. And we act as a willing assistant to their mission. So although we may have within our minds that tendency, well, we supersede it by following the instructions of the devotee. And then that envy will be removed by Krishna. Envy is actually just artificial. Our natural feeling is love, but envy is the artificial manifestation of that. Envy is a kind of appreciation also. So when we turn the envy from envy, material envy, to a spiritual appreciation, then it is purified. Alright, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande Hari Bol.